Expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby. Teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. I have a call-in guest today. This is my last week of pre-primary gubernatorial calls because starting next Monday, I got the 45-day rule prior to the primary. So today, I have Adam Crum. How you doing, Adam Crum? Candidate for governor, past commissioner of revenue, past commissioner of health and social services. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing well. And I'm going to have the Laundry House Gang on tomorrow, and they're going to talk about the Alaska Outdoor Council endorsement. But you were endorsed by the Alaska Outdoor Council. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, it was a pretty proud moment. The Alaska Outdoor Council came out, and I am their candidate of choice for the governor's race, and I'm just, you know, really proud on that. You know, I'm a lifetime member myself of the AOC, been involved, and we did a candidate forum in late February, and since then I have just been continuing to meet with and work with all the different groups, find out the issues, concerns, talk about like what my vision is for Alaska, and I'm just really, really glad they see that, you know, like they decided I was the best candidate for, you know, moving forward for conservation and access, making sure that we've got resources and we've got ability and trailheads to recreate. And it's just a big, important thing, being an Alaska kid, born and raised, and my parents still live off-grid, that it really is something that is near and dear to my heart, so I'm really honored.
That is fantastic. Boy, you know, I'm going to be glad when, like, August 18th comes, you know, because now we're what, about 50 days out, and I got 18 gubernatorial candidates really going after it now. So, boy, what do you got planned for the next, say, 2-3 weeks?
Yeah, so this is 4th of July week, so we have got parades all over the place. We'll have parades in Wasilla, Kenai, Anchor Point, and Homer, and that'll be fun. And then in the next week or the week after, I'll be back up in Fairbanks area, and then back up in Fairbanks again for Golden Days. And so we're just kind of crisscrossing the state, making sure we're doing it. But yeah, man, this 50-day sprint is really where it's at, because normally when you have a lot of candidates, you only have a handful that actually try. But of the, it's now down to 17. We had one drop, but I think.
Oh, sorry, I'm wrong.
Right. I think that there's 12 that are running legitimate campaigns, which is very, very interesting.
You know, you're the second gubernatorial candidate I've talked to today. I had another person, I'm going to say a gentleman or a lady, just had another person call up in regards to looking for sign locations, and I'm sure this afternoon, about every other day now, I get two or three phone calls from gubernatorial candidates, which I'm very honored for, about, you know, inquiring about different aspects and stuff like that. But let's go right to the gas line bill that might come out or might not come out. It's in a House Senate Conference Committee right now. What do you think?
I got to give credit to the House. They really stepped up. They actually passed the bill that was focused on the thing the governor called for. Sit down and talk and discuss gas line property tax issues only.
Yeah.
They looked at it and they passed it. I think it was 35-4. Really broad-based support. And then the Senate gets it, and all of a sudden they shoehorn in a bunch of other things, and they're trying to change the conversation. and add things to it that have nothing to do with the gas line property tax. And that's the most frustrating thing, is because they do that, and then they put out a bunch of comments making it seem like Alaskans don't understand, when, like, look, you guys are the ones that are literally changing the conversation on us.
Yeah. You know, it's a I've said this from the beginning. Wielichowski is not good for Alaska. Simple as that. And, you know, he had his way, and then he got in a confrontation with some of the House members, and he's hiding behind billionaires in Texas that aren't being taxed enough. I'm saying, stop that. What you're doing is changing the whole dynamics of a taxation here that's going to make this so it does not happen. You're allowing the North Slope Borough and the Kenai Peninsula to put their own separate tax on the pipeline. And when you do that, it becomes unfundable by a bank or a lending institution of any size.
Yes. And this is, he saw a window of opportunity to do a personal vendetta as opposed to do what's right by Alaska.
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, I've been spending a bunch of time in Fairbanks, and you guys are going through, I think it's a 47% rate increase for your electricity.
Yes, we are. Thank you, GVEA. Your wonderful management of our electrical grid is just incredible.
So, like, you guys don't care about, price matches. You want to actually have what is the pathway to durable energy security so you can live in the interior.
Yeah.
And this is not a hard conversation to have, and so they've completely changed it. When I wish that I could have hope that something good would come out of this conference committee, but really, whatever package the conference comes, it goes to each body, the Senate and the House, and each body votes it up or down. There is no changing it. I'm not confident that anything that comes out of conference committee is going to be worthy of being voted on by either body. I think the best case scenario is to go back, is to start it again.
My hope is that the House side, the House version, better heads prevail, and they say, let's do this. I mean, this is the starter program. Now, let's look at how many times the Trans-Alaska Pipeline taxation formula has been changed. I think it's 17 times. So my philosophy, and I believe you're the same, is let's get it started. You know, we're going to have a throughput tax on it. We're going to have a 25% ownership equity, so we'll receive money there. Oh, and we have our royalty value, too, on the other 75%. Let's see what it does revenue-wise and see if it works for the state of Alaska. But let's get it started.
We have to. We have to pull the trigger. Alaska sat around, and we've talked about this for 50 years. We built the Yukon River Bridge with pipe hangers on both sides anticipating a gas line.
Yeah.
And that was 50 years ago that went into service. So we have been waiting for this to occur, and now is the window. We have got federal administration lined up behind us. Global events have laid out such that the issue in Iran shows you how risky it is for Middle Eastern gas to be the only supply. So therefore, there's a risk premium put onto our gas delivered to Asian allies. So let's keep the issue out front about what is the one thing we're trying to solve, which is to monetize our gas and get this done.
And there's also a time frame risk, because you're looking at Canada wanting to put a gas line to Victoria, B.C., to supply the Pacific Rim with gas.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, how much fun can we have?
why do we do this to ourselves? And, you know, we got these folks that come in here and they think they're our betters and they're going to school us on this, when let's just move this along. Let's build stuff. Let's get back to doing what Alaska did. You know, why people are in Fairbanks was this intrepid pioneering attitude to go there and to do things. And now we're stuck into this whole NIMBY thing, or we're putting poison pills knowing full well that it's going to kill projects because we don't really want to build anything in Alaska, which I think is just a small, loud minority, but I think Alaskans want to see stuff done.
We're going to live off of tourism and government jobs. Adam, we're going to take a commercial break, okay? And Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. If you have a call you want to give to Adam, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We will be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fish on! The Valdez Fishing Report is brought to you by Frontier Outfitters. Drop in and explore their extensive fishing department. Rods to reels, lures to lines. You'll see fresh and saltwater, as well as fly fishing tackle for every game fish in Alaska. Stock up on supplies for your Alaska-sized summer of fun. Coolers to camping gear. Frontier Outfitters is your first stop to making your next outdoor adventure a success. Your store for the outdoors. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound. Lori Prox here with Josh Hughes of Hofstad Fishing Company. And a lot of the derby leaders in interviews that I've had are telling me they're jigging.
Yes, absolutely. Jigging is very effective for getting bites. Circle hooks are very effective for not losing fish. So if I were to explain the difference, your jig looks more alive and is more sexy in the water, whereas your circle hooks, when the fish gets hooked, almost always it stays hooked and is reeled all the way to the boat.
There is a specific way to set a hook.
Yes. A circle hook, you don't want to jerk. You have to let the fish take the hook in its mouth and then leave. By leaving, it puts an angle on the line, which causes that hook to turn, and the fish gets hooked. He hooks himself. With the J hook, the fish bites it, they go, ow, and they spit it out. And so you need to be holding your jig pole. It bites it, and you're going to jerk up really hard immediately. So as a captain, before we start fishing, we actually talk about, who looks like they can hold a pole physically and work the jig. And then maybe those that just would prefer to have their rod in a rod holder and the fish hook themselves.
Go fishing, Valdez. Easy Freeze is open 5:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily. They can book your fishing charter and blast freeze and vacuum pack your fish. Going out on a private boat? Come get your bait and ice. Easy Freeze can process your catch, too. They've got a variety of seafood for sale at their shop on Chittenah Drive. And if you have special requests for pickups or drop-offs, they'll do their best to accommodate. Easy Freeze.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with a slight chance for isolated rain showers. Daytime highs approaching 64. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy tonight. Slight chance for isolated showers. Lows around 46. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Adam Krem on the phone with me. This got the Alaska Outdoor Council endorsement. You know, this is when you're, Adam, this is when you're working hard to get everything like this, and that's a big one.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a... It's a big deal to get that in the door because, you know, it's such a crowded field and you need something to differentiate yourself. And this is a big step in that direction. So we're just getting some rolling momentum.
Okay, so I've got to ask the question. What's the biggest moose rack you've ever got?
Mine?
Yeah, yeah. No. The other person on the phone.
55.
Okay.
I'm a meat hunter. I fill up the freezer. I have, I'm that guy that if I'm hunting and there's a spike fork or a legal three brow tines or whatever area you're at, like I pull the trigger. I can't put let a legal moose go.
Yeah. You know, I haven't shot a moose in, since they're building the pipeline. And, of course, I've been on a lot of moose hunts and I've packed out a lot of moose. I just don't eat the meat anymore. Now, sheep hunt. I haven't been on a sheep hunt in 2 or 3 years. And, oh, my God, that's just so delicious and delectable. What the heck? But are you ready for a phone call?
Yeah, please.
Here we go. Good morning. You're on KFAR with gubernatorial Adam Krem, and your name is?
Randy.
Randy, what are you up to?
Well, my question for Adam is, as you know, Alaska presently has 25% ownership of the infancy zygote project of the gas line, and Glen Farm has 75%. Now, if the Senate doesn't succeed in stopping it and we actually get a project going ahead, should Alaska put in billions of dollars to match their 25% equity that they're allowed to have, or should they go for the smallest amount, maybe just a tiny contribution, just to get a seat at the table and let the Asian countries put on all the money for the gas line?
Good question, Randy. Thank you.
You know, that is a great question. You know, whether or not what level of participation the state should have. This is why, you know, since Murkowski as governor, we've been going back and forth in different iterations between a state-owned line, foreign partners do it, the national partners back to a state-owned line. And, you know, at this point, I don't know what the best answer is because it's fully permitted. The reason why we're pursuing this 42-inch line is because we fully have all of the permits, including from FERC, and FERC has defended it in court. And if it comes down to it, then a smaller line, I don't know what the permitting delay would be if a smaller line was needed because, you know, the cost of this is there's money that the state could pull out in order to invest in it. I don't know what the best answer is. You know, if the line fails, my big thing that I would push for is actually power generation on the North Slope and an HVDC line down running, so high voltage direct current running down and connecting it to the grid in Fairbanks and extending the grid from Beluga to Healy so we actually loop the whole rail belt in. And that actually is one way to make sure we get some energy going on. It's a good question as far as the overall economics sits. And because I don't know what Glen Farm's position is, because the way the agreement is, I don't know what the walkaway cost is. If they just step away, the state takes back full ownership as we did before they took over project development. Those are some considerations to have.
Randy, appreciate the phone call. We've got a couple more backed up. You have a great day, buddy. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with gubernatorial candidate Adam Krem, and your name is?
Good morning. This is Jen Uhas.
Hello, Jen. How are you doing?
I'm doing dandy. Good morning to our guest, Adam, and he's earned a few endorsements recently. And then I was going to call in regardless just to invite everybody to the Sheep Talk tonight by Jerry Lees. You just mentioned sheep hunting as we were going.
Yes, yes.
We've got the Northern Alaska Chapter SCI is hosting a talk for all skill levels. So if you're an expert and you just want to come hang out and maybe give a few pointers yourself, or if you've never been and you want to learn about sheep hunting, and then I can tie that in because I know that Jerry is supporting Adam as his favored candidate for governor. So thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome, and I just want to thank you real quick for being such a wonderful host for KFAR Radio here, the Problem Corner. Thank you. You have a great day.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Yep. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with gubernatorial candidate Adam Krem, and your name is?
My name's Al.
Hello, Al.
Hey, first of all, I think you ought to add 15 minutes to Adam Krum's time limit since you took it away the first 15 minutes talking about today's business and feckless Senate. Not about campaign.
You're right. I was only going to have him on for a half hour, and I'll extend it to the whole time. I'll double that extra 15 minutes, buddy.
All right. My question to Adam is, what is his interpretation of maximum benefit for its people found in Article 8 under general authority?
That's a good question. You're talking about just in general, I think we get wrapped around the axle when we're talking about game or even just natural resources for extraction in Alaska. I want to make sure that we have access to this. I think we have a duty to actually develop resources to access resources. So this would actually include things like development of roads and trailheads to actually get that maximum benefit because we have to develop our land to get to our resources in Alaska, and we have not done a very good job of that. Having 20,000 miles of RS-2477s, and we have very few defined trailheads and hardened trails to actually get access to this. I look at Sweden, which has a much smaller footprint, and they've got 10 times the take on moose, but they've got 90% road coverage. They also do active forest management and grinding to actually encourage the growth of those animals to actually increase the yield. And that's what I want to actually grow with the yield in Alaska as well.
So why I ask that is because there's lots of interpretation that says it's about the dollars. What brings in the most dollars? We talk about it on gas. We talk about it in commercial fish. Yet, when we look at who brings dollars into the state for our natural resources, it's hands down always the non-resident, and that pertains to hunting and fishing, and you know, oil development.
Well, actually, Adam brought up a very good point there, and it made me think. Hold it, you know, the yield of the species that the Alaskans can take, and he brought up moose. So my first thought went to, we should take out some wolves because that will increase the yield of the moose population.
That's not always true.
Well, it just made me think of that. Yeah. And that sort of thing. So you're trying to increase the yield for Alaskans on a program, and that would be the highest maximum benefit. Just my thought.
Because, you know, it's a good point because, you know, we got this question on, like, logging. You know, should the state wait for the highest possible dollar to sell wood at, or do we actually want to see a benefit from that? And by selling it and having it logged and then replanted and you get growth and you've got other ecological benefits over time, does that provide a benefit to the people? And I say yes, that it's not always for the highest dollar amount, that you have to, there's a lot of other benefits that come into account that we have to do, because it's not just about waiting and selling and holding.
Well, I would agree with that, and that's where the maximum sustained yield principle comes in.
Yeah.
Or the sustained yield principle comes in. So you're not waiting for the highest price, but what can you harvest sustainably?
Yeah, I mean, that's the, when we dive into that, sorry, when you start managing a resource, you have to continue managing that resource. I know that was an issue that popped up.
Al, greatly appreciate the phone call. You have a great day, buddy.
You too, thank you.
Yep. Good questions there, Adam. Very good questions. Yeah. Of course, it's Problem Corner. It's Fairbanks. It's us.
I like it.
Oh, so campaign. You got about 50 days left. You're coming into the 4th of July weekend. What's your schedule again?
It is 4th of July weekend. This is parades in 4 different cities. And then I'll be doing a tour of the interior in mid-July, hitting up Fairbanks again, then doing Delta, then working my way down to Glen Allen, Valdez, and then I think a couple weeks after that, be back up for Golden Days.
Now,
and I've been told by so many people in Fairbanks that you do not miss Golden Days.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to ask you a personal question. I want you to be honest. It's not a bad personal question or anything like that, but on the campaign, have you ever woken up in a hotel room and thought to yourself, as soon as you wake up, what town am I in?
I have. I did that to where I was 3 different stops in 3 days, and I was getting about 4 hours of sleep each night. And then on the third night, I did actually have to step out and, where am I right now? Because I forgot.
And, good.
Nice thing is about this week, I just hit 6 days in a row in my own bed just for the way the schedule worked out. And
yeah.
I got to say, being in my own bed just for even 6 days in a row has been really nice.
It's sort of rare, I would think.
Very exceptionally rare, and it's I feel like my brain's functioning a little bit better than normal.
Okay. Any mud throwing from anyone at anyone specific?
No, not coming at me.
Or anyone throwing at anyone, you know, Brontany threw at the AOC for not sponsoring him, you know, things like that.
You know, I think it's going to kick up more. Honestly, what I'm trying to stay away from all that stuff, because I think Alaskans in general are just tired of negativity around politics. We want to move forward. We want to build. We've got legit issues. You know, how are we going to heat our home? What are we doing with local schools? We got actual items that matter as opposed to personal attacks. And how are we going to build that forward? And that's one of the approach that I've been taking. I told my campaign team is we're going to try to stay above the fray. You know, one thing is, you know, my faith is very important to me, and I want to run this race as a Christian too.
There you go. Adam, we're going to take a commercial break here, okay? And then we'll come back after the bottom of the hour. Fairbanks, I'm going to give you some Van Halen bumper music, Feel So Good. Then we're going to go into some Fox News, some state news, some commercials, and some weather. And we will be back.
Here we go! Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
The tensions high again after the U.S. and Iran launching new attacks across the Middle East over the weekend, despite previously agreeing to extend a ceasefire. White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt on Fox and Friends says peace talks are still ongoing.
Iran has requested a meeting this week, so Special Envoy Witkoff and Jared Kushner will be flying to Doha for high-level meetings this week as we continue to discuss the Memorandum of Understanding. On the sidelines of those high-level talks will be the technical talks.
Iran attacking ships passing through the Strait of Hormuz claim their country will continue to control the waterway. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. announcing a new partnership with the WWE to get kids more active.
The obesity rate among our children has gone from 3% to 20%. In adults, it's 40% with 70% overweight.
The secretary calling the United States the, quote, sickest country in the world. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Anchorage Daily News reports an Anchorage Superior Court judge on Friday ruled that a challenger to U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan is eligible to run for office and be placed on the August 18th primary ballot. The two share the same name and party affiliation. The Alaska Division of Elections is seeking to keep the namesake challenger off the ballot and immediately appeal the lower court decision to the Alaska Supreme Court, which has scheduled a hearing in the case at 10 a.m. today. The deadline for the state to begin printing ballots is midday Tuesday, driving an expedited hearing schedule. Dan J. Sullivan, 70, and a retired teacher from Petersburg, appealed to the Superior Court after the Alaska Division of Elections earlier this month rejected his bid to run for office. The disqualification came after the division received formal complaints from the Alaska Republican Party and the National Republican Senatorial Committee. They alleged that Democrats had encouraged Dan J. Sullivan to run in order to benefit the incumbent senator's top opponent, Democratic former U.S. Representative Mary Peltola.
Online at KFAR660.com.
Whew. Oh man, I'm out of breath. Hey Fairbanks, Les Nichols of Fairbanks Nissan. Man, we've been busy like a spring bee. You might have noticed our lot's been a little bit empty lately. We sold out of the 8-passenger Pathfinders and Armadas, and almost sold out of the Frontiers, all-wheel drive Kicks, and Nissan Rogues. Of course, it's not that surprising since the last J.D. Power study on initial quality says Nissan has the highest initial quality out of all non-luxury brands, and they're super affordable, and NEMAC has special interest rates. Hey, but never fear, summertime inventory is rolling in right now. So if you want first pick on Nissan's best stuff, come see us today. Oh, and Shorty, our used car manager, has been trying to buy up every car he can get his hands on, and he is not slowing down. We need to buy 46 quality used cars before the end of this month. So if you want to get the most out of your old ride, bring it down to Fairbanks Nissan right now. You'll find out why we're not just the best place to buy your car, we're the best place to sell your old ride too. See all the new rides springing up online at FairbanksNissan.com. That's FairbanksNissan.com.
Credit and NEMAC special interest rates require bank approval. See dealer for details.
Lotto Alaska presents Crazy Train, the Aussie Experience. Saturday, July 18th, outdoors at the Spur featuring Aussie's biggest hits.
Mama, I'm coming home.
Don't miss this captivating show unlike any other, joining Aussie's timeless catalog with staggering dedication to detail. You have to hear it and see it to believe it. Crazy Train, the Aussie Experience. This show will blow your mind. The ultimate Osborne anthems, featuring timeless soaring guitar riffs and vocals. Relive Ozzy, Saturday, July 18th, outdoors in the Spur parking lot. Doors open at 5 for VIP, 5:30 general admission. Presented by Lotto Alaska and brought to you by Pagoda Restaurant. This is an outdoor all-ages show.
I'm going.
Get your tickets now at aktickets.com.
I'm going off the rails on a crazy train.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here with Adam Crum calling in. How you doing, sir?
I am doing fantastic.
So, basically, you're calling in from your house.
I am. Yep, I have been out on the road, and I get to sit down, and I get to relax a little bit, and by relax just means I get to drink coffee in a comfortable chair while still working.
Yeah, in an environment that you know.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you have a dog, but I was going to say, hey, does your dog recognize you?
You know, sadly, I lost my dog a couple years ago, so Don't have that, but thankfully my kids do. FaceTime helps. I got to tell you, when you're traveling a lot, being able to connect with your kids via FaceTime is a game changer.
That's great to hear. Now, here's a thought that I have. Last few years, there's always been a big fight, a big push on school funding. You know, from the NEA, the protagonists who don't think that the state spends enough money on funding, where at the same time, the largest increase of expenditure over the last 10 years has been school funding. Now, here's my thought. You have a formula based on a student in a building, for the most part. And we've had all these students from parents with parents flee the buildings. And so you're not going to, with the strength of the NEA and the way the different school boards are made up, I just don't think that students are going to be going back to schools, into the brick and mortar schools. So how would you look at funding to get the school districts more money for the students' overall allocation, but also primarily increase the ones going into the bricks and mortar schools? How's that for a whacked out thought process?
Yeah, it is. You know. So the governor just did his budget vetoes,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's about $150 million towards school maintenance and construction, and another $150 million for one-time funding increase to schools. I think it was about $300 million, if I remember that correctly. And we keep doing these one-time increments. But, you know, as you brought up, there's a reason why parents are pulling their kids out of schools. They're not happy with some of the messaging that they're getting, that there has been this breakaway from the bare bones about education, not indoctrination. And I think that's going to continue to happen. You've got parents that are going to continue to homeschool or put their kids into charter schools, which are a public school,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to change. I live in the Mat-Su, and there is a lot of charter schools here, and they're very high performing. But it comes down to the ability of the families and the parents. I do want to say community schools do matter, because community schools do have to take on those of the parents, you know, who don't have flexibility in transportation schedules. And so we have to have a real conversation about what is necessary in the community school side, because if you're not in an urban area, you may only have one school.
Yeah.
Where I grew up in a K-8, man, if somebody had a house fire, we did pancake breakfast on the weekend. That was where we did our Halloween parties, the community carnival. Everything occurred in the gym of Chapman in Anchor Point. And, you know, when that school ever comes up as a threat on the chopping block, it just is a crushing blow to the community, because you can't lose that school. And that is so many areas around the state.
Yeah, we had something similar. They voted to shut down the Salcha and the Two River School, but one, they repurposed Salcha as a homeschooling port. So they keep it operational, and it really works out well. And then the Two Rivers became a charter school. And so they're able to repurpose them for whatever reason. Then they were looking at the one up there off Farmer's Loop. I'm missing the name of it in my mind right now. But they tried to bring that back. The school district said no, and the state said yes, and the state superior court said no, you don't have to do it. And so it's education is all whacked out.
It is. You know, we have, you know, I think it's 55 or 56 independent or separate school districts in the state. It's a lot of different overhead, a lot of different administrative burden. That also means we're using all unique health plans. Each of the school districts is different. There actually has been options and questions over time to actually bring school teachers into the Alaska Care program, which is the State of Employee of Alaska health care plan, which would bring about a lot of savings. But
it's, yeah,
these administrative cost savings that not only save money to both the employee, the employer, but also a better plan. And why aren't these things explored in earnest? Because if we want to keep funding levels in education to where we are getting the best outcomes for our kids, we have to look at smart ways of doing business. And these aren't cuts that I'm talking about. These are just better ways of actually doing and going about your business. This is how, if you're a private entity, you have to consistently look at. You have to figure out, how do we do this in a better way? And I don't think our school districts haven't done that. On another side, I've been having this conversation with people, like, it came up in the Mat-Su Borough, and I've been studying it in the Kenai Peninsula and up there, is people complain about their property taxes with the assembly. Well, in the Mat-Su Borough, 70% of the budget is actually decided as school district funding.
Yeah.
Assembly members only do an up or down vote on that. They can't change it. And I think it's about 67% in the Kenai, and I think it's like 65% in Fairbanks. And so that's one of those things, like, if you really want to have a say in your property taxes and adjust, you got to get involved at the school board level, which have historically low voter turnout.
And it has the highest out of the Fairbanks North Star Borough, Fairbanks School District, City of Fairbanks. The school district has the highest budget. Mm-hmm. Simple as that. And, you know, and I never besmirch teachers in the classroom. You know, I went to public school and private school, and I never had a bad teacher. And I'll say that again. I never had a bad teacher. College, not so much. Fairbanks, public and private, wonderful teachers. I still remember them all. So it's not the frontline troops of the teachers that are causing issues. You know, it's the social indoctrination from the different school boards or school districts that really, you know, starting about 10, 12 years ago, set Alaska back.
It is. My mom is a retired school teacher, 35 years.
Yeah.
And
God bless her.
When she finally gave it up, it was because of the undue burdens coming in from inexperienced administrators, or rules that were being put on them that actually were distracting from the ability of these educators to educate kids in the classroom.
Yeah.
And you feel for them. You want to give teachers the best tools possible. And I have hope for Alaska because of the fact of Mississippi is just a great example. They were the worst. They were the bottom of the barrel. They didn't dump all kinds of money. They did strategic investments, and it was a top-down approach from the governor through the legislature and all leadership. How do we improve our system? And they looked at best practices and implemented things. And over a course of 3 years, they had a rapid improvement of where it was because it was so important to them. They made it a top priority. And I think that's what we have to do in Alaska. How do we get it back to our kids, our learning and reading and writing? Because all the data shows, if they're able to read and write by age third grade, they're less likely to enter into any benefits programs or even corrections later in life.
Yeah, it, you know, keep it simple, keep it basic, and be good at your basics. And then when you get into, you know, junior high and high school, expand it out. Simple as that.
That's it. One of my big focus, you know, is I've owned for a long time, the largest post-secondary training school in the state, training people to put them to work. And I want to focus on career and technical education because this gives kids a reason to stay in school.
Yeah.
One of the things that I want to do is to break out funding from the BSA, put it as a separate line item, and invest in it. But by doing that, you get a little bit more say at the state level for how school districts spend that. How are they actually partnering with private industry, getting workforce exposure, and kids are able to actually learn skills on the job, but it makes them pay better attention in school. It helps with their brain development. All of a sudden, geometry and trigonometry matter much more. And we're getting kids exposed to what really matters, which is these trade skills, and they're able to either go to work and or if they go to college, they can work and stay debt-free. And we're giving them skills for life.
You know, have you ever been to the planetarium up here that just recently opened up at UAF?
I have not.
I would recommend you do it because they gave me a private showing. I went in there just before they opened it up, and I was in there with about three other people. And I was so wowed. I mean, they brought me into, you know, a different galaxy far, far away. And they have you, you know, leaning back, you know, looking up at the roof, and it's incredible. And I actually said to the lady who operated it, I said, if I would have saw this in elementary school or junior high, I really would have been interested in science.
Mm-hmm.
I really would have. And so, you know, parents, if you're listening, get your kids into the planetarium because it is a wow experience. And so then I looked at it and I said to him, you know, whenever I have a you know, you get all your visitors coming up and they want to see the Northern Lights, I'm just bringing them here.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's amazing what those little experiences do to just get you engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And we have these opportunities in Alaska. We do such cool things, but we don't really understand a lot that goes on in our state of the really neat engineering and all the things it takes to live here and work here. We don't share that with our kids, which is why programs that I support is incredibly, like Alaska Resource Education, which their job is educating teachers on the resource extraction industries in Alaska. They take them to mining sites, oil gas sites. They partner with the Permanent Fund Corporation and have a job of teaching finance and economics in Alaska.
True.
We need to teach the people, the guidance counselors and the teachers, about what Alaska has to offer, and that just, it helps. And it's a multi-pronged approach, but we've got to dive into education and give people hope, because that's what gives families the willingness to want to stay and bear through our winters for our glorious summers.
We're going to take a commercial break, okay, sir? And when we come back, we'll have about 10 minutes left, and we'll finish up. Fairbanks, if you want to give a call in when we get back, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereed, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereed, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Auto Trim Design. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation is proposing a change to winter air quality rules in Fairbanks and North Pole. Right now, both communities are grouped together. Even though air pollution is more concentrated in parts of North Pole, DEC is proposing to separate the two areas. This means assistance can be focused on North Pole, and Fairbanks can avoid unnecessary burn requirements. This is a public process, and residents are invited to comment. Learn more at interiorairfacts.org.
Celebrate America's 250th birthday at the 4th of July Festival in North Pole. Right after the 4th of July Parade, head to the Grange Lawn from 11 to 3 for a day packed with family fun. Enjoy live music, delicious food, vendors, games, a bouncy house, petting zoo, beer garden, and so much more. Bring your lawn chairs and celebrate this special Independence Day with the whole family. Parking is available at North Pole Middle School. Just follow the Freedom Trail to the Grange. This is free to the public and proudly sponsored by the Santa Claus House.
Get your garage back, people. Great news, everybody. Independent Rental Storage has 20 and 40-foot containers to help with all your storage needs. We have two locations, one on Cushman and our new storage yard on Chena Pump. Or we can bring a container to you. With prices starting at $150 a month, Independent Rental Storage has the space you need. Call us today, 456-6595. Independent Rental Storage. Safe, secure, affordable.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping.
Slight chance for isolated rain showers tonight. Lows level off around 46. Partly cloudy skies. High temperatures reach up to 63 tomorrow. Mainly cloudy skies. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Adam Crum calling in. If you want to give a question, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Hopefully you're enjoying the conversations I'm having with Adam, and we've had some great conversations so far, really good. Adam, how you doing there?
I'm doing fantastic, man. This has been a fun process going through all of this, and I actually really enjoyed going around the state and meeting a lot of Alaskans, because what I've found is a lot of people are actually kind of in the same boat. Like, we want to see change. We want to see something different that actually is going to give our kids hope to stay.
There you go. Ready for a phone call?
Yeah, please.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Adam Crum, candidate for governor, and your name is?
Hey, this is Charles, Dave.
Charles, how you doing?
I was trained to be a Prestige guy, Adam Prestige. I was trained for that right here at UAF, 1987, I think, right when everything was shutting down, $9 a barrel.
Yeah.
So anyway, he seems to favor a blue polyester suit, and one other guy from Glen Farm likes a purple tie. What would you think, Adam? What would you think for a color to represent? Thanks.
Well, how about that, Adam? That's a unique call.
So as far as suits go, I actually try to lean into wool because I'm a big guy and I sweat, so I need something to breathe.
Yeah.
So like my wool suits. I do like to lean into my red ties, but I'm not against purple because purple was the color of my undergrad.
Hey, purple is the color of my purple padded room here.
That's right. So that was where, you know, we're the Northwestern Wildcats, and so we used to joke that our football team, it took a real man to wear purple.
So what separates you from the crowd of 17?
I've been blessed. I've had success at every step of the way. I've owned successful businesses. I ran the largest department in the state, did it well, and I actually managed the most money in the state of revenue. So I kind of take a pride in being a disruptor, of changing how things are done. I hate the appeal to tradition of doing it as the status quo or the way it's always been done. I think that is a terrible approach to things. We need to lean into innovation. You know, when it took over my role at health, I looked at it differently. I had a state psychiatric hospital that was on the verge of closure from our federal officers. So I disrupted it and I brought in a private group to manage it and we stabilized it. I looked at the way the department was run, and we were failing Alaskans across the board. So I put forward helped the governor put forward an executive order to split the department in half. So we're actually finding a way to better serve Alaskans, but also to get into a lot of the issues that we have within the Department of Health. You know, and I do things differently at the Department of Revenue, changing the story of how Alaska was told to credit rating agencies to get our credit rating bumped. I take the differential between myself and the others is I disrupt and I have been successful every step of the way in my career.
I wouldn't say you disrupt. I would say you bring a different direction versus the same old, same old.
Yeah. It's far too easy in Alaska to just sit back and wait.
Yeah.
Because people fail to realize we almost didn't have a pipeline. That was an act of Congress, and it needed a tie-breaking vote from the vice president in order to actually move that along.
Yeah. You know, when I was mayor of Fairbanks, the first thing I did, and I did it every year, I'd have every department head give me three ideas for their department, you know, not looking at costs, you know, aspects. What we can change in your department to make you operate better for the people who work there and for the citizens of Fairbanks every year. And then we'd just check them off, you know, if I liked it, you know, we'd just start checking them off as we went through the year. The next year, give me three more. And so they started looking at that, and by year two, they were ready for the next three.
That's it. It turns into a culture, right?
Yeah.
I remember one of the cool stories I had at health was I had this lady in position who was influential in the Medicaid program. She just knew all the federal things, and you know, we're talking billions of dollars out the door. The accounting of that becomes a very real job. And she was set for retirement, and I went to her and I said, "Hey, what is one thing that you have never either had the time for or had administrative lead to really pursue that you feel would actually benefit the people of Alaska?" And she had an answer ready to go, and it had to do with just getting it was a dispute between the state and the legislature, and she goes, "I feel like we have the right interpretation, and this will save us millions." I said, "Go for it." I said, "You have my full permission to launch. Call whoever you need to." And we got it to where we had a letter from the top of the CMS, Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services, that said, "We agree with the state of Alaska." And the second we got that letter in hand, it allowed us to recoup $20 million from the federal government and at least $15 million going forward annually.
Wow.
And that was just one person one project, just allowing her just to, she had never been asked that before. And that's the old, you talk about the difference about just the innovation is like the ability to recognize there's talented people and staff around you, enable them to do the best job, give them the tools and then the courage to back them up. That's what I've been able to show. But I just love sharing that story because it was so cool because it's so much money and it was a simple thing.
Yeah. And simple things begat other simple things, and all of a sudden you're making some good changing.
That's it. It just creates this positive momentum, and that's key in any team formation, right, is form, storm, norm, perform. And you've got this approach that you need to really just get people on board, positive momentum as you start to get things going. And that's what we can do for Alaska. We're going to be able to move this along, and there's so much good things. Alaska is a rising tide raises all boats. This is not one region wins over another. We have got a lot of things we need to work on, but Alaska is primed for all areas of the state to succeed.
Well, we got about 2 minutes left, sir. How do you want to end it?
Well, I just want to say that, you know, this has been great. I've been all over the state. I've had the chance to go to Nome and Kotzebue all the way down across Southeast, up and down the interior, making stops in Nenana, and got to have fantastic conversations with leadership there. And I like finding innovation all the way across the state because we got a lot of people in Alaska who like doing things in a new and a fresh way, and that's what we want to bring to a statewide level. Let's find those innovators, let's actually highlight them, and let's bring it ahead. You know, the campaign's been going great. Like where it's at, meeting Alaskans, we're going to continue doing this. I'll be in the interior a bunch more. We'll keep following for announcements. The website's really easy. It's adamcrum.com. We got some massive endorsements coming. One big one that just launched was the Alaska Outdoor Council. It's a very big deal because it shows that we're all about hunting, fishing, and access for Alaskans, and this is a group that feels like I'm the best candidate to help move that along and protect. And so we're going to keep moving it, and we're going to have more and more names dropped, and momentum is growing. But, yeah, check me out at adamcrum.com and on Facebook, and it's just an honor to join you again, David.
Hey, I appreciate it, and I mean this. I really do, Fairbanks. Adam, I really hope you make the Final Four. I think you are very worthy of that with your experience at a commissioner level in two large departments, your enterprises that you've operated in the private sector. I really hope you make the Final Four in this, and I really appreciate the time you've taken to be on the radio show here with me. I really do, sir. Thank you.
I'm grateful for the opportunity. Thank you, Fairbanks, and I'll see you guys soon.
You take care, buddy. Talk to you later. Thanks. Bye. Fairbanks, we got about a minute left. That's our show. I really like, you know, I'm so blessed and fortunate having a radio show. It's something I never thought I'd have or do or try to venture to get into, and next thing you know, you're on the radio, but it just leads you to meet so many extraordinary people and then having incredible and exceptional conversations. And it gives the listeners the opportunity to hear things that they might like or might not like. That is just as important so they can make a decision or a determination of what they want to do and how they want to do it. So anyway, that's our show for today. We have the Laundry House Gang tomorrow, and boy, we're going to get into politics and have fun with them. And Al, you better be here. Anyway, you have a great day, Fairbanks, and I will see you all tomorrow.